Dear friends, once again, this is an opportunity for us to share briefly from the Word of God in place of our regular Bible studies, which we have suspended for a while until we have completed our temporary structure. And so this evening, may we have time to reflect upon this theme, the theme of the duty and practice of meditation. The duty and practice of meditation. And I'm reading from Joshua chapter 1, beginning with here. I'll be surveying through a number of verses. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." It's such a comforting thing that we are given a word like this. The reason is that picture Joshua, a man who had taken responsibility from a very great man, Moses. And Joshua had such a daunting task. He must lead Israel to possess the promised land. He knew, because the Lord had made them know, that there was going to be conflict. They were not going to get the land easily. The Lord would be with them, of course, and that they would triumph over their enemies. So how would Joshua succeed? How would Joshua be able to carry on his work as the Lord would have him do? And the beautiful thing and the kind thing is that the Lord does not leave Joshua to himself to devise a way of success. These days, books on success abound. Everybody wants a way to success in anything at all. In other respects, that's okay. But the wonderful thing is that when it comes to the Christian life and our walk with the Lord, when it comes to the way to usefulness, the way to live so as to truly enjoy our God and to bring Him glory and to honor Him here on earth, God Himself has shown us, if you like, the secret or the path to it, and here is one of them. And so it is quite encouraging to see this verse here. So we'll be exploring through a number of verses in scripture and the riches and the richness, if we can say, of the practice of meditation comes to us. And indeed, in these verses we also see the kind of things that we do in meditation and even how we meditate. Some of these verses help us to explore them. And so, friend, that's our purpose tonight, within a short time. And so think of the charge to Joshua again. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." You should always be teaching it and reading it to the people. "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." You see, so he has the word. What he must do is to meditate on it. It presupposes reading it and getting familiar with it and then meditating upon it. And do that day and night, he says. Let that be at least a regular thing with you, day and night. So do that day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. A great help of meditation is that it makes us remember the ways of the Lord. How many of us will not confess that sometimes we had done something only to realize that perhaps some time ago we had learnt that. We had learnt that from the Word of God or our church, that this and that is the Lord's way. And then we've forgotten and we had done the very opposite. Part of the reason could be that I never meditated upon them or reflected upon them. And so it became so easy for me to forget it, and Satan, of course, to steal it away so that I do not obey them or reflect them in my life. And so the Lord tells Joshua, this is, once you have the word, what must come is meditation upon that word. Read it and speak about it, instruct it, teach it, but meditate upon that so that you yourself will be able to live it and to prove the things that are taught there. And so that is so, having the word, meditating upon that will aid obedience, and then the Lord will prosper us, the Lord Himself. So, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, And then thou shalt have good success. The Lord himself would grant him success. He will bless him and enable him in all things. How our hearts delight, how our hearts long that we are so strong in meditation. Friends, this is a thing all of us must strive to grow therein, because the Lord has attached to it such wonderful encouragement and blessing that will be ours if we give ourselves to this. Let me turn to another passage very quickly again, and it's obvious, isn't it? To Psalm 1, so the first Psalm where we have the psalmist speaking about, once again, the meditation. So Psalm 1, look at verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And so once again, there is the practice of meditating upon the word day and night. And it says that this will be the mark of a godly person, somebody who isn't like the ungodly spoken of in verse 1. It is a contrast. It is a language of contrast. Meditation, the kind of things that fills a person's heart and mind, the kind of things a person wants to reflect on, because the word translated meditation here is a word that means to murmur or speak to yourself. So it is as if you are speaking back the things you have learned or read about God's word to yourself again. That's what it means. So that it includes to ponder or imagine. So you fill your head with that and you reflect upon that. That's what it means. And so it is as if you are communicating with yourself. So in the process of meditation, we also speak to ourselves, examine ourselves. It brings in this branch of Christian life, self-examination, because I speak to myself in the process. And as I said, it is a contrast. It draws a line between a godly person and the ungodly in this verse. And so it is. Now, it's interesting because I would jump, dear friends, to a few psalms. I'd wanted to go in somewhat an orderly way, but because of something he says here, I want us to jump straight away to Psalm 119. But look at this verse again before we move. And so Psalm 1 and verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We'll come back here to see the blessing, but just see something I want to stress because it is important. Now, if your Bibles are still open, look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and look at verse 15. So Psalm 119, verse 15. I will meditate on thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. The psalm is speaking about his respect for God's word. And then look at the verse that follows. This is it. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget that word. You see, back in Psalm 1, delight in the word of the Lord was associated with meditation. You see, and here too, the same thing. So back in Psalm 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And then it goes on, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then the Psalm 119, verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. The very next verse, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy law. You see how the two go together? Look at verse 23 of the same psalm once again. Verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate on thy statutes. And then look at 24, the verse following. Thy statutes also are my delight and my counselors. You see, and so this is quite striking, isn't it? Look at 48, and you have a similar thing here. 48, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Now, before that verse, verse 47, look at what it says. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. And then the idea of I have loved is repeated in verse 48 in connection with meditation. You see, in fact, there's another example that we may turn to in the same psalm. So, you see, meditation leads to delight in the word of the Lord. And that delight in the word of the Lord also deepens meditation. It's like a cycle. If I have no delight in the word of the Lord, I don't meditate upon that. If I don't meditate upon that, I will not have delight in the word of the Lord. Because the truth is, the more I reflect upon the Lord, upon the word of God, mema, speak to myself, as it were, about this scripture, then the Lord, let me see the beauty of his word, the wisdom, sometimes the wonder of the word of God. And my delight is stirred, and my interest in the word is stirred. And so, if I'm not meditating upon the word, it is a small wonder if my delight in the word diminishes. So that, as the psalmist said, we cease to love the word. We cease to love it above all things and to regard it as our counselors, that alone guiding our feet in all our decisions. And so, see, another thing about the meditation is this, that it is closely connected with delight in the word of the Lord. That delight that makes us love the word and want to obey, love the word and not want to forget it, as the psalmist said in Psalm 119, and enable us to make it our counselors. You see, it makes me love the word, it makes me not forget it, and then it makes me make the word of God my counselors. So, meditation upon the word produces delight. The delight in the word of the Lord deepens my meditation. And this in return produces love for the word, love for the Lord, love for his ways. That produces the grace to remember the things that God has said, the things that I've read and received in the past. And that also lead us to make the word our counselor. So we would constantly want to be ruled and guided by the things we have read and studied from the word. And so this is another aspect of this psalm. So I go again to another psalm. I'll turn to one or two New Testament verses soon. But Psalm 63 and verse 6. We have the psalmist reflecting once again upon meditation. So Psalm 63 and verse 6, it says, "When I remember thee from my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." Now let me start from 5 to make it clearer. "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." How beautiful and how comforting it is when I meditate upon thy word. When I meditate on my bed, my heart is satisfied. I am content. I am brought to that state where my heart rests, comforted, and feeling its fullness, satisfied with my God. And so meditation is such a blessed thing. It therefore fills our heart with praise. It does not say there. It will fill our heart with praise. It will satisfy our hearts. And then it says that he did that in the night watches. You see. So, Yesira often says that you may see how a person's godliness is by how he spends his evenings. What does he do when he gets home from work? Surely he may want to listen to the news. Surely he may want to see a few things on the television or something else. Oh, but will he close that time also with meditation? So are we one of those who allow ourselves so that it's become habitual? I go home, I eat my evening meal. Well, some people don't do it these days. They would rather do it in the late afternoons. But whatever it is, do I go to the house, eat my meal, and then simply sit in the sofa and then relax there and then fall asleep, and then I'm awakened to go to my bed, and then that's all, and this has become habitual? Oh no, friends, this is not a good way to close our day at all. But as the psalmist said, to find ourselves meditating the night watches, our thoughts lifting up to glorious things about God. And our next verse will tell us some of the themes also here. But here it tells us some of the benefits of meditation, because it will produce satisfaction. When the Lord enables us to find delight in his word, here therefore the promises and the truths And the revelations about God's dealings, I'll come to that in my next verse, God's dealings becomes very comfortable and such thing as satisfies my heart and therefore fills my mouth with praise, with joyful lips, as the psalmist says. So when I remember, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And so this is another indication of the blessedness of the practice of meditation. Now, Psalm 77 verse 12, Psalm 77 verse 12, I will meditate also on all thy work and talk of thy doings. Meditation will influence his words. The kind of things that fill our hearts influences us. My dear friend, we must take this so seriously. Words, sometimes unworthy words, really drop out of our lips before we realize it. We say it before we become ashamed. How easy? Well, sadly, we can become so habitual in that we don't feel shame anymore. When we have said things we shouldn't say, when we have suggested things and been unkind with words and harsh and unfriendly and suspicious even with words, things like this, and have expressed things that are so unworthy of a Christian's lips. And sometimes these things drop from our lips before we come to our senses. And here the psalmist is saying that I will meditate upon thy works and talk of thy doings. He marries the two. When I will meditate on God's works and talk about his doings, because the things that fill our thoughts will eventually influence our hearts. And then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we see the things that are worthy. And so, dear friends, how we need this these days. These are days when people simply don't care how they speak, and careless words and light, flippant words are all spoken, even in the house of the Lord, sometimes even by preachers, and concerned about extreme lightness of some things that we say. Oh, how we need the Lord to help us to check our tongues by checking the kind of things we meditate upon and allow to fill our hearts. And so the psalmist gives us a clue here. Now the psalm, it's about the psalmist troubled about what seemed to be God's withdrawal of his help and blessing. He seemed to be left alone by God, and God deserted him. That's the psalm. And this is how the psalmist said his response would be. He will meditate upon God's works. He will, even though his feelings seem so dry and God seems to be so far from him, this is what he would do. He would take on his word and meditate upon that and talk of his works. I will reflect upon the doings of God. And so meditate upon thy works and then talk of God's doings. And he hoped that this will stir him up and fill his heart with praise and thanksgiving once again, in spite of all that he was going through. And so the psalmist shows us another way, another benefit of meditation, because it will fill our lips with worthy words, and then it will heal us and comfort us, keep us in line, keep us firm and safe, even when there seems to be a withdrawal of the presence of God. Because then God will bring us to the realization of his presence. Sometimes he may bring us to the realization of our sins, why he may have withdrawn his presence, why he seems afar off from us. Is there an unconfessed sin? Is there a sin we are entertaining and are not willing to cry to the Lord to be rescued from? Are we keeping some idols, things we are loving and cherishing more than the Lord, his worship and his service? Are there things that we must all go to the Lord and beg him to purge our hearts from, so that we might truly have him as our priority and as our God? So he may withdraw his presence to draw our attention to these things, but the blessing is this. The way we may restore the sense of his presence lies with meditation also, beside our, perhaps our repentance and renewing our commitment and things like this, renewing our commitment to the service of Christ and taking once again seriously his worship and things like those, we also reflect upon his works, what he's done in the past, the way he's dealt with us, the way he's dealt with our fathers, and that we try to talk about this. We would not want to fill our mouth with complaints and with bitter criticisms of others. We don't want to do that. We want to reserve our lips for the Lord, and so want to talk about his doings with his people and among his people. And in this way, our hearts will be revived and our hearts encouraged also. And so this is another aspect of meditation. Now, my dear friends, let me pick up two passages from the New Testament. So I go first of all to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You know that those words of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about what a man thinks, it's an indication of his heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's a language that really suggests the necessity of meditation there. But I'm not turning to that passage. I go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. These are words after Paul had spoken about prayer and thanksgiving. And so verse 8, Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think. In fact, the Greek means estimate, as even to take an inventory, weigh them, mark them, examine them. These are the things that must be filling our thoughts. And what a list, my dear friends. And so this tells us what should be the content of our thinking and the content of our meditation. Whatsoever things are, it begins with whatsoever things are true, things that are genuine, not falsehood, not daydreaming. Daydreamings are imaginations. Daydreamings, if they are personal, they can tend to be a criticism of God and his dealings with us. Here am I daydreaming about things I want, the things I wish I had, the things I wish I enjoyed. A child of God does not do that because he knows that God orders his path and he's resigned his life to him. And so he does not do that lest he appears to be saying, oh, this is what should have been my portion. And the Lord may see it. The Lord may notice it. And so things that are true. Fantasy is not true, it's mere imagination, and so the child of God will not engage his thoughts in that. Whatsoever things are honest, and so whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, these what a map for our thinking, my dear friends, that we fill our thoughts with these things. And so we are shown the kind of things that we should be thinking regularly. And the Apostle Paul, the beautiful thing is that he attached that to the call to prayer, which he began in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he tells us, dear friends, you see, if we have prayed about things, if we are praying people, we will not engage in mental fantasy. We will not engage in, daydreamings. We would have committed our ways to the Lord and trust in him that he who loved us in the Savior, he who sent his son, the Apostle Paul's grand argument for faith in God in Romans chapter 8, he that did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What is it that is a real need? What is it that is truly sought for the glory of God? What is it that is truly sought for a real benefit that Almighty God, our Father in heaven, will not grant? And so when he's done that, well, friends, we would want to be reflecting upon these things, fill our thoughts with these wonderful dealings of God and keep our thoughts for him because we belong to him. And so these are a kind of list for us, things That must fill our thinking and fill our meditations. This is not exhaustive, of course, but it lays the outline for us so that everything that is worthy of a Christian's thinking is mapped out here if you begin to explore them one by one. And so it is, my dear friends, that we must have our thoughts filled with these things. I go again. Perhaps this will be our last. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it is verse 15. This is the Apostle Paul's instruction to Timothy. So 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. What a solemn charge that every one of us, especially those of us who are preachers, must feel it keenly. And so the apostle, now let me pick out a verse from verse 13, which laid the foundation a little. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, you see. And then when he has spoken about meditation, when he has spoken about this, he said, meditate on these things. There were a whole number of things he's spoken about from the beginning of the verse. And in fact, actually, the beginning of the book itself. And he wants Timothy to be reflecting upon these once again, as the psalmist said, so that he does not forget them. And he's included this here, reading also. Form the habit of that reading, Timothy. Read the public scriptures. Read for yourself also, he seems to say. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to the teachings of the word. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given by thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. This is how Timothy was set aside for the ministry, or actually called into the ministry, perhaps. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And so, these things that I've told you, reflect upon them. Let them fill your thinking. You must always find yourself thinking about these things. Think about these things. Fill them. Fill your thoughts with them. Be always reflecting, friends. This is for ministers of the gospel by all means. But the reason why it is for them is that so they may be examples to the brethren. Friends, we should always find our heads busy, heads full with the things of God. Surely you are an employee and you have work schedules to carry out. You need to plan and think through the work to be done. So these things naturally would take part of your thinking by all means. Oh, but friends, may we find grace that in these spare times, we will simply be able to climb higher and to think and reflect upon the nobler things and higher things, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, things that glorify the Savior. These things must fill our heads. And so Apostle tell Timothy, so that he may be an example to the brethren, meditate upon these things, he says. Give thyself wholly to them. So you see, meditation will lay the foundation for that also, to total commitment. It helps total commitment. As we mentioned, it helps me to remember my duties, the things that I should be doing. No meditation means forgetfulness. Forgetfulness means disobedience or neglect of duty, neglect of my calling, the way the Lord will have me walk. And meditation is once again is a blessing here. Give thyself wholly to them. We will be wholehearted, committed Christians if we meditate upon the word of God also. So it shows us, you see, our meditation should include our duties and our responsibilities, giving thought to them. My dear friends, one of the saddest things, and our dear friends, may the Lord help each one of us that we never fall into that. The people engage in the things of the Lord with very little thought. People think you can easily get up and do it. Perhaps he's a Sunday school teacher, or perhaps there's something, he's in charge of something, that the children's morning school or something else. And he thinks that, well, he doesn't require that much thought because after all, these are only children. And so I simply get up and go and say the very first thing that comes into my mouth. Oh, friends, this will be very unworthy. This will be very unworthy. And we should never do that. Friends, we must show total commitment by giving thought to the things that we do for the Lord. Every responsibility we bear for Him must have been carefully thought through. And friends, I wonder whether any one of us who have responsibility for the Lord would think that we have done this enough, because we know that our very best are often very, very, really falls far behind in the standards of the Lord. We praise the Lord that for Christ's sake, our efforts, though feeble, if they are sincere and our whole heart is in it, God receives it for our dear Savior's sake. And so, friends, meditation is a great help in our giving ourselves wholly to our work, to be truly zealous and truly committed to our responsibilities, that thy profiting may appear to all. So this profiting would involve Timothy's real progress, real improvement in ministry, improvement in responsibility, and his progress as generally as a man who is in the service of the Lord. Friends, meditation is a powerful thing. It accompanies, of course, other duties of the Christian life to bring us to become people who make real progress. And it will become evident, not just we become more articulate in talking about things, but especially in life, especially in obedience, especially in how we respond to things, how we respond to circumstances, how we respond to life's challenges scripturally and biblically, always desiring to honor the Lord and to put Him first. Our profit will become evident over the years. It will be seen that we are maturing. We are deepening our love for Christ. It's becoming more stronger, and our devotion to His things is becoming more clear and more consistent. These things will become evident to all people who are watching us in the fellowship of believers. It will become evident to all that we are not only coming to church and are merely lightly moving about the worship service and things like that, but that we are actually deepening and going forward in the things of the Lord. And so this is another help. And then remember, he had mentioned doctrines in verse 13. He asked verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continuing them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. This is always a very solemn thought to the pastor. Oh, my dear friends, have we been meditating? Have we thrown away the practice? Have we not deliberately taken on the word of God to reflect a little upon them and to grow in the practice, so that by the grace of God, we may be really spending so much time in delighting ourselves in the law of God, His ways, His works, His doings, His dealings with us, reflecting upon things that are pure, holy, things that are true, genuine, things that are of good report, so that we fill our hearts and minds with good things, so that they have such wonderful impact upon our lives. Friends, there's no way we'll be deeper Christians. There's no way we'll be truly godly people without the practice of meditation, because meditation, as we've seen, immensely have influence over our thoughts and over our affections, and then over our character also. Oh, my dear friends, may we earnestly seek to recover, if we've left the practice for so long, each one of us to take this very seriously, and at least twice a day to deliberately give attention to meditation. Dear friends, so friends, we may be busy persons, I've said this already, we may be busy persons, work schedules very tight, yet of course we have our free times. We have times when we can keep our thoughts to ourselves, away from the things of business. Friends, this is one of the reasons why if a Christian isn't striving to take the Lord's Day seriously, we rob ourselves. Friends, the working week has been tight and busy. God, in His great kindness, is giving us one whole day that we may give our attention to prayer, and to spiritual things generally, including meditation, prayer, and the reading and studying of His Word. So we go to the house of the Lord, hear His Word, so we may reflect upon them, read also for ourselves, if times allow us, and to give thought to our responsibilities before we carry them out. And yet some Christians will sell this too. We use this also for things that are unworthy, and lose this precious day, and still occupy their heads with plans of business, with plans of next day's money issues. Dear friend, this is a great self-robbery. This is a really denying ourselves a great profit. Dear friends, I hope that each one of us, by the grace of God, love our souls and really want to walk with the Lord. If the Savior has purchased us with His precious blood, He had borne the curse, He had borne our numerous sins. For His sake we are children of God and received in the bosom of the Father. Dear friend, do we not desire to be useful? Do we not desire that our lives count for Him? But how can our lives count when even the day is given us to give it in thought, in conversation, in desires to spiritual things, we allow it to slip so easily into the previous day's or the next day's business, so that we rob ourselves of the purpose of that day. May the Lord help us. So you see, if we would want to meditate on the Word of God, God has made provision already, including a whole day, the Lord's Day, to give ourselves to things like meditation and other things that pertains to our Christian life. Oh, my dear friends, may the Lord help us all to take this very seriously and begin at once the practice of meditation. Because it is a duty also, dear friends. You can see that the instructions to Joshua show it. It's not optional. It is our duty also. Oh, may the Lord help each one of us to constantly feel this and obey the Lord even in this also. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, forgive us for said great neglect and help each one of us to rise quickly to take up the practice of meditation, that which Thou hast so kindly designed for our good. Help us to humbly embrace it and pursue it eagerly. May we grow in this grace also. Oh, that we do not forget Thy Word. Oh, that our affections and delights rest upon Thy Word. Oh, that we were careful to obey Thee, meditating upon Thy Word, so we know exactly what Thou require of us, that we may obey Thee and follow Thee, that we may be useful and bring Thee glory. Father, help each one of us, for we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for His sake. Amen. Dear friends, you may want to reflect on hymn number 119 and version 2. Hymn number 119 and version 2. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Thy word, O Lord, will safely lead if in its wisdom they confide.